Let me give you an update on our Karen. She's doing well. She had surgery during the week. Everything came out perfect. The doctor actually told Bruce that it couldn't have come out any better. So she's home. She's recuperating. She plans to be back in about 2 weeks. She just says that she's feeling sore, but that she has felt every prayer. So she wants to extend her thank you and continue prayers, please. Thank you.
Our opening hymn this morning is found on page 2023 in your Faith We Sing books. How majestic is your name? Please stand as we sing together.
Now for our call to worship reading. Call upon the Lord. I asked for help and I was healed. We asked for freedom and we were given liberty beyond measure. We serve a mighty God. Let us praise him. O Lord our God, we will always give you praise. Amen. Our affirmation of faith this morning is the Apostles' Creed, 881 in your hymnal. Let us unite in this historic confession of our Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born to the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. On the third day, he arose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From hence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please turn in your silver praise books to page 18. I exalt thee. Be seated.
In your bulletins, we have our prayer confession. This will be in unison. God, you have caught us in our sinful behavior. We come to you with the hope of your restoration. We walk with our heads held high, without noticing others and their burdens. We are even blinded to our own. We keep our mouths silent when we are full of stories to share the good things you have done for us. We even keep our actions silenced as we become so overwhelmed with the needs of the world that we have nothing to overcome them. Fill us with your peace and with your mercy. Free us from the destruction of sin. And resurrect their life lived in you. Amen. Peace. Peace is what you receive from God when you know that your sins are forgiven. Peace is what you have when you know that the destruction of sin cannot harm you because you are not alone in your journey of life. Therefore, peace, my brothers and sisters. In Jesus, we have received forgiveness and we have been restored. Thanks be to God. Amen. If our ushers would come forward for our offering.
Thank you. Maybe that was the problem. Thank you. That was awesome. I needed your help today. My name's Mary, and a lot of kids used to call me Miss Mary, so I go by Miss Mary a lot, okay? And I'm going to start off this morning. How many of y'all know that song? And I bet you do. If you're happy and you know it. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. If you're happy and you know it, then your face will surely show it. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. Yeah, that's easy for us to do, isn't it? You did know it, and you did good, but what if we were a bird? How would we show that we were happy? How do you think they could sing that song? That's right. If you're happy and you know it, flap your wings. If you're happy and you know it, flap your wings. If you're happy and you know it, then your wings will surely show it. If you're happy and you know it, flap your wings. Well, you know what my neighbor has? My neighbor has 6 puppies. 6. I went to see them last night. Man, it sure made me happy. And you know, what did those puppies do? If they're happy, what do you see puppies do? What? Wag their tails. You're right. They wag their tails. How do you think we can sing that song now? You got to stand up. Yes, you do. If you're happy and you know it, wag your tail, swish, swish. If you're happy and you know it, wag your tail, swish, swish. If you're happy and you know, then your tail will surely show it. If you're happy and you know it, wag your tail, swish, swish. All right. Well, I'm going to tell you a story this morning about a little puppy, okay? And that little puppy had noticed that whenever he was happy, his tail would wag, right? So he thought he had found the secret to happiness, and the secret to happiness was in his tail. So one day, he shared that secret of happiness with an older dog, and he said, "I have learned that the best thing for a dog is happiness, and that happiness is in my tail." So that little puppy said, "I'm going to chase my tail, and when I catch it, I shall have happiness." Well, you know what the old dog said to that puppy? The old dog said, "Well, you know, I too believe that happiness is a marvelous thing for a dog, and I believe that happiness is in my tail, but I have noticed that when I chase my tail, it keeps running away from me." Have you ever seen a dog chase his tail and he just goes in circles? And so it's funny, but very rarely does that dog ever catch his tail. Doesn't happen very often, does it? So he said, "But when I go about my business, it follows me wherever I go." So if he just forgets about his tail and just goes about his business, that happiness just follows him wherever he goes. The Bible has a lot to say to us about being happy, doesn't it? The Bible teaches us a lot of things, but it doesn't say that happiness... They do wag their tail when they get a drink. You think getting a treat, you think getting a treat makes them happy? Yeah, it does. One cat and 3 dogs? Wow. What does a cat do when they're happy? Have you ever seen a cat happy? Yes, he does. I do. Oh, yeah, he lets you know he's hungry, doesn't he? Aw. One big one, and they do. Our pets make us very happy, don't they? That's what's so... That's awesome. Well, the Bible tells us that it doesn't tell us we're happy if we have lots of toys, does it? It doesn't tell us that we're happy if we have lots of things in our lives. It doesn't even say that we're happy if only good things happen to us, because sometimes good things don't happen to us. But what the Bible does say is that happy is he who is kind, right? Happy is he who is kind. Happy is he who is a peacemaker and not a troublemaker. And happy is the pure in heart. What do you think pure in heart means? What is pure in heart? Just means if we're happy, if we're what? If we're doing the right thing. You're right. That's right. So, many of us, like the puppy, we chase our tail a lot. But the Bible tells us that if we'll just trust the Lord and just go about our business, then happiness is going to follow us, right? So happiness isn't about what we have. Happiness is about what we have in here in our hearts, right? Let's pray real quick. Dear Lord, help us to place our trust in you so that we may experience the happiness that only you can bring. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And I have a color page for you and a piece of candy for you, but let's wait until after we help Pastor Francis with the Lord's Prayer, okay? Now, if y'all will stay right here.
Okay, it's time for joys and concerns. And our concern for today comes from Phyllis. She has a friend, Janice. She's wanting prayer for Janice's health concerns. So we lift up Janice. Or is it Janice or Janice? Janice. Okay. The good thing is, I need to remind you, the Lord knows who I'm talking about. Okay? Don't fret. He knows. He really knows. Even if I mess it up, he still knows. So for all the things, my Heavenly Father, that she is needing, Lord, your presence, your comfort, your healing, we lift her up to you, Lord, asking you, my Heavenly Father, to walk with her and let her feel your presence in the name of Jesus. We have a praise today, but instead of me giving it, we're going to have Esther give the praise. Come on, Esther.
Without reading the prayer of confession, I guess I heard the conviction of the Holy Spirit to share a story.
Yes.
So most of you know my son Wyatt. He's turning 22 on the 17th this month, and he was in Louisiana working, and he got in an accident. A fellow was coming towards him. They were on a two-lane highway going 55. We hope, and no more. But the fella just turned right into him right when he got to Wyatt. And it happened right in front of Bethel Baptist Church, somewhere in a little town in Louisiana. And Wyatt's car went rolling several times out of control. And he didn't have a scratch. He came away without a scratch, a concussion, a broken bone, or anything. And when I saw that Pastor was preaching on Psalm 34, there's several verses in there that apply to Wyatt. You know, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him. Amen. And it says that even though a righteous man has many troubles, he protects all his bones, not one will be broken. So... he was certainly looking after Wyatt, and I just give God all the thanks and praise. And I would like to add one other thing. My husband got there shortly after. He's been, you know, he saw the severity of the accident and couldn't believe that Wyatt survived it. And he saw the mother of the other fella in the other car. He had a bloody nose, but he wasn't hurt either. But his mother told Joel that she had kicked the fella out 4 days ago. So he was probably having troubles. Wyatt said he was crying. So I don't know the fella's name, but if you could just remember, God knows who he is. Remember him in your prayers and his family and his mother. And that's it. Okay, thank you. Oh, sorry.
I have to have my program. So let us all together, led by the children. Yes, please. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. That went from their mouth directly to God's ears. Let us all together now recite the prayer for illumination. Your word, O Lord, is our inspiration, our light, our motion. Guide us today as we listen to the word read and proclaimed. And fill us with understanding and the desire to change. Speak, Lord, your people listen. Amen. Our word today is from Psalms 34, verses 1 through 10, and you will find it in your Pew Bible on page 871. And it reads, I will exalt the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. I will glory in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is he, the one who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his holy people, for those who fear him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So the sermon today, I entitled it, Taste and See. The phrase taste and see that the Lord is good is a direct quote from verse 8 on Psalms 34. Psalms 34 is a song of thanksgiving in which David begins by praising God for his deliverance from fear and trouble. David then called upon the people of Israel to remember that their God is both their protector and their deliverer. And I call on you also to remember that today. In just 17 words, David instructs, encourage his people. First, he implores them to seek the Lord and to know his goodness. Then David tells them that they will be blessed by trusting God. And of course, we know that trust is produced by knowing God's goodness. And you learn about his goodness by your own experiences, by testimony of others. Just like we heard from Esther. and by reading the Word of God in the Bible. In verse 8, he says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him." I could almost hear him, because since we know that David loved God so much, I could just see his voice being one full of commitment, of belief, of trust that this is true and that he believes in what he's saying. And this is what he's trying to tell us when we read it in his word. When David tells his people to taste and see, he is telling them about the promise that comes when you taste the Lord, when you trust the Lord. Psalms 34 clearly tells us to taste first, and then you will see his goodness. How do we taste of his goodness? I suggest that it is by water, milk, meat, all of it are the Holy Scriptures. Water, milk, and meat are used in the Scriptures, both Old and New Testaments, as a word picture for God's word. 1 Peter 2:2-3 says, "Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you might grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good." We need to do the same. Now that we know, now that we have read, now that we have seen, and now that we have heard, we are past the baby bottle. We are past the pacifier. We need to go directly to the meat of the Word of God. To try to go to the baby bottle and the pacifier and the comfort blanket, my grandson calls his baby blanket his chicha, and just for us to be carrying our baby blanket, we're past that, people. We're in this very wonderful season of our lives. We don't have time to do stuff like that. We need to go directly to the meat of the Word. All Christians, from the time of their new birth, are to hunger for the Word. Peter likens this hunger to that of a newborn baby. A newborn baby, does not need to be taught to hunger, to cry out for milk. The natural hunger is internally experienced, and they make their voice heard. You also have this inside of you. Your soul yearns for the Word of God. We're so busy that we muscle that sound. And then after a while, we cannot recognize it when it cries out. As Christians, God expects that we are to hunger internally for his word, because his word nourishes our souls. When we hunger, we are to cry out in desire and in need for the pure word and the faithful teachings that will make us grow spiritually, and so that we will taste and see the goodness and the grace of God, so that we will have that personal relationship with God. Our needs are not all the same. We might have things that at certain times in our life we could say, "Oh, I've gone through that," or I know of that, or I heard of that. But it's all about our relationship with God, because God is going to answer each one of us in a very special way. And the answer comes through that relationship. The answer, the greatness, the grace of God comes by your relationship with him, by you tasting him and see by yourself, for yourself, that the Lord is good. David says in Psalms 119, verse 103, "How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth." I can see why David will run towards God and would say something like this, Because you know, when the whole world has gone out and they have shut the door on you, you know that the door that is always open is the door that is inviting you in to sit with God and tell him what's going on. When he says, when David says that his words are sweeter, so I was trying to fit it to me. How is sweeter? How are his words sweeter to me? So sweet does not make that big of an impression to me. But what came up to my spirit is the peace. So when I sit down and I read the Bible and, you know, chaos is going all around me and, you know, and I get up and chaos is still going all around me, I have this peace. That is the honey that I receive from the Word of God. The honey for me is the peace. It is the peace to wait. It is the peace to shut up. It is the peace to praise God even in those circumstances. Above all, for me, I got to tell you that it is the peace to trust God that he will walk me out of whatever I have walked myself into. It is that peace that is the honey for my life. Paul wrote to the Ephesians church about the importance of tasting the word. In seeking knowledge of God comes wisdom and revelation. That tasting produces knowledge of Jesus. It gives us sight, direction, comfort, and hope. Paul told the Ephesians on 1:17 and 19, it says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength of Christ. He was able to recognize then that without God in our life, without that relationship, we're always, always going to be short of something. It could be that we are very intuitive in some things, but intuition is not revelation. And intuition is not discernment. And intuition is not wisdom. And in wisdom, discernment, knowledge is what we need to navigate our lives until the very end of our lives. Just because we are in a very special season of our years, it doesn't mean that it's over. You never know what's around the corner. Now more than ever, our relationship with God needs to be stronger. Needs to be stronger because we're leaving children and grandchildren behind. Needs to be stronger because we don't know what the world is going to say tomorrow, what the decisions are going to be made that we will have no control over. We hold the world up with our prayers. That's how special this generation is. Don't count on what's coming. Count on where we are now. A spiritual hunger longs for rich, substantial nourishment. We taste the sweetness of God as he meets us in his word. When we get together, whether it's in the morning or in the afternoon or in the midday, when we go outside and sit out in the porch or in the back, when we are just in the sofa, when we are reading in bed, wherever you create that moment, know for sure that God is right there with you.
One time I was praying in bed, which is something that I don't do. This time I was doing it because I wasn't feeling well. One of my children saw me go like this to the pillow next to me. And she said, why you do that? And I said, well, I was telling Jesus to go ahead and take, you know, sit down, you know, be comfortable. We're praying today here. I'm not getting up. I'm just not feeling good. So, Lord, sit down, make yourself comfortable. Jesus will meet you wherever you are, even if it's in the car. And I have told him more than once, get in, I'm late, let's go. And he'll be with you. He does. He really, really does. You know, once we get to heaven, we're going to find out of all the rules that we try to keep. And the Lord's going to say, oh, yeah, I saw you doing that. But I, you know, that was nothing. I just, you know, I was there, you know, and just, you know, I just thought that you were funny. You know, because we try to create all these words for prayer, and we try to create all this solemn moment. And all that he wants is for you to say, Lord, let's sit down. Let's have a conversation. This practical spiritual food that we embrace with our mind, it will nourish our souls, it will nourish our heart, it will give us satisfying grace. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey. That's the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. We need to believe in it, savor it, bring it to mind again and again until it's our very nature to feel the truth that the godly are designed for unknown and inconceivable joy. So this is another part in which I'm thinking joy. Because remember, I function in two worlds, English and Spanish. So joy means one thing, and I couldn't apply it here. So what is joy to me? Joy to me is the equivalent of knowing that even when everything else is against me, God still loves me, and God is still for me. But the one thing that is utterly marvelous is that it is the same thing for you. He is for you 100% of the time. Even when you're not doing what he has asked you to do over and over again, and you put him against the corner, and then he says, well, I've told you for years that this is what you need to do, but you haven't. So now I'm going to let you taste your consequences. Even then, he's just going to be right there next to you, and he's just going to love you. And he said, well, you know, well, I told you many times that you needed to change your ways, but you didn't. And you ignore me, but I'm right here with you. I'm still for you. Even when he's correcting us, God is still for us. So that's what kind of joy meant for me. When letting the flesh lead, people don't want to read the Bible. Spiritual people with a new taste want to read their Bibles because they love Christ. They love the kindness of the Lord. They get up in the morning and they need to feel the kindness of God. They can't live without the kindness of Almighty God on them. Sometimes our hope, understanding, and fears, it's draining out of us, pouring out like a leaky bucket. I think that a lot of you have been there, and I know that I have been. And so the Bible is the only place where I can taste the Lord. I can taste his peace, and I can taste that he is for me. And I can guarantee that when you meet him there, you will be also covered with his Holy Spirit, and you will feel the same love and the same attention and the same undergirding that he gives to all his children. They are there for you. This is the way that we are to live, by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. The Bible has an answer for whatever ails you. It even draws you a map. Go to Proverbs. It tells you exactly every question that you would have, the answer is right there.
Then when you need hope and courage, go to the Psalms. We all know about David and the troubles he was in and the trouble he created for himself. But God still called him a man after my own heart. God gives us the tools. It's up to us to go to them. But reading the Bible is not enough. We must learn to taste the Word of God. We are to act on what we read. That's tasting. Trust it, obey it, put it into practice, live it out, so that you will discover on your own the experience that God's Word has specially for you. Even when it cuts across the deepest parts of your soul, when you don't like it, even then, His words are sweeter than honey. And He's still telling you, taste and see. Come and take refuge right here. What I discover is that if God is for us, who and what can be against us? Remember, I've told you that the things that happen to us is not a surprise to God. God knows exactly where we are and what we're going to go through and what we need to go through, because we're still in the growing stages. Tasting cannot be done remotely or at arm's length or even by proxy. What I mean by that is, you know, when you say, would you pray for me? Yes, I'll pray for you. But that doesn't absolve you from praying for yourself. Okay, what you're doing is you're gathering your group, you know, to pray for you. But you still have to go to God and ask in prayer. Tasting is impossible without coming close to the food in question and opening ourselves to it. It requires that we pick something up, put it in our mouth, into our tongues, and that we swallow it so that it go deep inside of us and so that it can change us. Whether we like it or not, God has a plan. And His word is not going to return to Him void. For years, the Bible has been telling us to taste and see that the Lord is good. For years, I have been gawking at the plate of food and hoping that the act of staring at it will fill me up. I somehow expected to know God without tasting, without allowing His word to invade me, without nourishing me, or without changing me. But the Bible is not a distant online learning program. It's not primarily for knowing about God, but it is specifically for knowing God. One of life's saddest ironies is that many who know the Bible do not know His author. They have no idea about the grace or the love of God. This is a grand and tragic exercise in missing the point. When I hear people, and I have had some professors like that, they just know the word back and forth, you know, and they question things like, you know, what color was the donkey that Mary was riding? I don't know. I don't care. You know, but these are people that question those type of things. But then when you tell them, well, what about grace? Well, you know, They're not that sure, but they're sure about the color of the donkey. So it is not important to know all those details. It is important to know who wrote and who is speaking to you through the Word of God. Along the lines of drowning, it's knowing about the Bible, but not believing in the Bible. It's along the lines of a person that is drowning, and they catch a flotation device, but then they decide to make themselves a hat. Okay? It's not going to help you. The hat is not going to help you, even though that is made out of something that should float. Unless you use it for what it's for, it will not help you. Pastor and author A.W. Tozer was right when he wrote, the Bible is not an end in itself, but a means to bring men to an intimate and satisfying knowledge of God. Is it going to make our life easier? I think so. Easier in the sense that when you know when there's nothing else for you to do, you're willing to sit down, continue praying, and wait. It's when you feel that peace that surpasses all understanding, when the pain chokes you and you're not able to talk. I think it does. And that is really what David is trying to tell us today in this psalm. He's inviting us, with all that is around us today, to taste and see that the Lord is good. And he is telling us, blessed is the one that tastes the Lord, the one who takes refuge in him. You all remember when your children were little and something was going on and they will run to you and try to get under your skirt? Imagine yourself doing that, getting under the tunic of God. What else can get you there? Nothing. And that's what he's wanting from you. He's wanting you to run to him, to create this relationship with him. He's telling you, taste and see that I am good. Let us pray. Almighty, true and incomparable God, you who is present in all things, yet in no way limited by them. You remain unaffected by place, untouched by time, and unperturbed by years, and undeceived by words. You are known to all those who seek you with hope and love. You are the God of Israel and all who hope in Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Closing hymn this morning is on page 73.
Now receive this blessing from the Lord.
May the God who heals accompany you with hope so that you may face life's uncertainties. May the teacher, Jesus Christ, send you out as disciples, certain of his words and power. And may the Holy Spirit fill you with an unceasing desire to do good wherever you are. Blessed are the ones who go in the name of the Lord. Be at peace. God bless you.
Share the message we have.